closer to God whenever I'm fishing or whenever I'm hunting or fill in the blank with whatever you enjoy doing. Now, there's no doubt that, you know, some of these things can lead you to worship. I mean, you can worship in all of life, and these things can be very enjoyable. They can even be helpful for your Christian life, because we all need relaxation, and everything we do in life can be an opportunity for worship. But we cannot replace those things that we find in Scripture with just whatever we want. And so, you know, that's the point that Don Whitney makes all throughout the book, is that, yeah, you may be able to worship through being on a boat or being out in the woods or whatever. You may be able to worship in the midst of those things that you enjoy doing, but you can't replace those things with what the Bible prescribes. You know, for example, you can't say, well, I don't read scripture because I feel like I get, you know, I get fed spiritually whenever I'm hunting. Well, you may enjoy hunting, and when you're out in the woods, that may be a very spiritual, edifying experience for you, but you can't replace those things in God's Word with just whatever you want. And so we're going to be talking about things that are found in Scripture over the next several weeks. So first of all, I want us to talk about the nature of the spiritual disciplines. The nature of the spiritual disciplines. It's so very important to realize how the disciplines work. The disciplines are means. They are not ends. Disciplines are means. They are not ends. The purpose of spiritual disciplines is godliness. And spiritual disciplines help us to achieve that. But the Christian life is not just practicing spiritual disciplines. That is a means to the end of godliness. Does that make sense? Now, an example of how you can do this the wrong way in the New Testament would be the Pharisees. That's an example of how you can be a very disciplined person, but yet if you see the disciplines as an end instead of as a means to an end, which is godliness, then those spiritual disciplines can actually lead you to be legalistic and to be Pharisaic. And so we see that in the New Testament with the Pharisees, that they were very disciplined people. I don't think any of us would disagree with that. I don't think any of us would critique how disciplined they were as far as you know, being in Scripture, being in prayer. You know, worship was important to them. Fasting was important to them. But what did Jesus say? They do all these things so that they can be seen by others, so that they can be praised by others. Because for them, the end was looking religious, looking spiritual. People thinking that you were important or that you were knowledgeable or whatever. And so the Pharisees did not see the spiritual disciplines as a means. The spiritual disciplines for them was an end. And so we want to make sure that we're not doing that. So how might practicing spiritual disciplines become legalistic? You may have an answer for that. What does that look like? How might practicing spiritual disciplines become legalistic? Because there is the danger in that. Then he makes you feel terrible if you don't do it. How might practicing spiritual disciplines become legal?
Mm-hmm. Maybe loving people and,
yeah.
And serving.
Yeah. Yeah. There is the danger that's there, right? I mean, I think what it comes down to, and probably this is what you were saying there, is that you've really got to have them in the right place. You know, if you're just doing them for the reasons of appearing knowledgeable in Scripture, appearing very spiritual, and it's just all about you, it's you focused, like you said, that's completely the wrong attitude to have. You know, so really the spiritual disciplines have to be in the proper place. Once again, they have to be a means but not the end. And so you think sometimes maybe we do it to pat ourselves on the back? Is that how you could?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I want us to look for just a second at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Now, this is a really popular passage of Scripture. Probably most of you in here have seen this, probably heard it preached on, and probably heard it in Sunday school before. So here's what it says. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. This is talking about the early church, the very early church. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So normally when you hear this passage of Scripture, you don't really hear it in the context of here are the spiritual disciplines and here's a model of spiritual disciplines. But that's actually what you see in this passage of Scripture. What are they doing? They're studying the Scripture. They're praying together. They're having fellowship and worship together. They're breaking bread together. They're having communion together. They are practicing the spiritual disciplines. But notice that it doesn't say it in like a negative way. Like when we talk about how the Pharisees were disciplined. No, what's it say? It says in verse 47, they were praising God. In other words, when they were doing spiritual disciplines, it was actually causing them to worship. And once again, that's the goal of spiritual disciplines. It is to lead us to worship, to lead us to godliness, to lead us to holiness. And so I think that's a really good example we see in the early church of how to do spiritual disciplines the right way. All right. Now, kind of switching gears just a little bit, Whitney talks about how being disciplined does not always come easy. Now that's a shocker, right? Being disciplined does not always come easy. And I think, you know, if you're like me, there has been so many times where in the month of January, I have been the most faithful Bible studier in the world. Anybody ever been there before? And then like February hits and you're like, oh. You kind of lose it, don't you? You kind of lose that New Year's resolution to read through all of Scripture, you know, like 3 weeks in. And we've all been there, okay? We've all set goals for Bible reading or prayer or whatever, and then we don't come through. Discipline sometimes is very, very hard for us. And so here's what he says. I want to read this to us. It's on page 15, and it's a little bit long, but, man, I just think it's so good. He says, I'm sure you've seen people who will devote time to learning to play an instrument, knowing that it takes countless hours to acquire the skills, who will practice hard to improve their sports performance, knowing it takes work to become proficient, who will commit to a long curriculum of intense study to complete a degree, knowing it takes sacrifice to succeed. Then many of these same people will give up quickly if they find that the spiritual disciplines don't come easily, as though becoming like Jesus would not take much effort. Ooh, that kind of hurts a little bit. But it's true. We know that that's true in so many things in life. If you want to be proficient at something, you have to practice it. You have to be devoted to it. And it's the same way with being like Jesus, with being Christ-like. It's not going to come overnight. And so the spiritual disciplines, it's the way that we, you know, as he says over and over again, we put ourselves in the path of Jesus. He even uses the example of Zacchaeus, which I think is really, really a good example of how the spiritual disciplines work. What did Zacchaeus do? He put himself in the path of Jesus. He went where Jesus was. He climbed up where he could see Jesus and Jesus could see him. And I think that's a good picture of the spiritual disciplines. That's what we do when we're in Scripture, when we're in prayer. And so, yeah, they don't come easy, but we all know that with anything in life, and that includes, and probably especially the spiritual disciplines, in the end, it's, and I don't know when the end is, I guess when we see Jesus face to face, but it's worth it. It's worth the discipline. It's worth doing what we have to do to make sure that we are growing in godliness. So the spiritual disciplines don't come easily, but once again, going back to what we talked about at the beginning, if you can have a vision, if you can see where you want to be, you know, and you realize that not everything's going to happen overnight, but you see where you want to be, that can really be something that can carry you along. And so, with that being said, I think it's important for us to point out that you can practice the spiritual disciplines and not see much fruit of the Spirit. Now, how is that possible? How would it be possible to practice spiritual disciplines but still not see much fruit of the Spirit? How does that work? I mean, you think like the formula's there. If I study Scripture and if I, you know, pray and I go to church and I do these things, I'll be godly. But how could you doing these things lead you to not really show much fruit of the Spirit and to not really grow in your walk with the Lord? Huh? Okay, so it could be very self-centered. That's definitely one thing. Yeah, sure. You're reading scripture every day. You're praying every day. But for some reason, you know, you're not really growing that much. What could be something that could keep you from growing? Even if you're doing the spirit. Yeah. Yeah. There, that's the big one right there. Sin gets in the way. And one of the biggest things that hinders us from growing is our pride. Whenever it comes to practicing spiritual disciplines or to doing anything, really, that has to do with being Christ-like, we have to be humble people. Humility has to play a huge, huge role in our growing in our godliness. If humility is not at play, whenever we are practicing the spiritual disciplines, we can be in a heap of hurt. Because we can be doing the spiritual disciplines all about us, as Ford said, without ever thinking about even how can I be a better worshiper? Without thinking, how can I serve people around me better? I want to look real quick at 1 Corinthians 8, verses 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 2 and 3. Paul says here, if anyone imagines that he knows something, now this is going to put us all in our place, he does not yet know as he ought to know. In other words, you're not as smart as you think you are. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. All right, go back to verse 2 for just a second. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. So even if you think you are the smartest Bible scholar this side of the Mississippi, you don't know as you ought to know, okay? And so if your pride is causing you to think that you are a Bible genius or that you are just the spiritual giant, Paul says, you're not all the way sanctified. You've still got a long, long way to go. And so humility is just so huge for us. Whenever we begin on this quest to know Jesus more, we cannot let pride get in the way of our learning, of our growing. We have to make sure that humility is always present. All right, so humility is just a big thing. One thing that he says in this opening chapter is that freedom is the reward of the disciplined life. Now, when you think about the word discipline, do you usually think of freedom or do you think of restriction? Restriction, right? Yeah, it's an easy question. You typically think of restriction. You think of bondage. You think of people trying to hold you back, right? But he actually makes the point that freedom is the reward of the disciplined life. Now, here's how this works. If you are getting ready to have open heart surgery, you got two options before you. You've got this person here that just started medical school 2 weeks ago, and you know, they'll do the open heart surgery on you, and they're going to be nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. And then you've got this person over here that has their PhD. They got it 20 years ago. They do open heart surgeries every week. Which one are you going with? Option A or option B? B, right? And the reason is because that person was disciplined enough to learn how to do that. You know, it's really amazing. Have you ever talked to surgeons? Just how natural they are just talking about like doing a brain surgery or a heart surgery. It's like it's nothing for them. You know what I mean? And why is that? It's because they're disciplined, because they surround themselves with it. They do it all the time. It's second nature for them. You know, one of the things that, as I've tried to teach people guitar, that, you know, one of the things that frustrates people is that they say, I just can't do this. My fingers don't bend this way. You know, as if it's just supposed to come natural. A lot of things don't come natural. We have to work at them until they begin to become more natural. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. The more we practice the spiritual disciplines, the more God blesses us, the more we see spiritual fruit. And, you know, I thought of some examples of this. People who are really practiced up in the spiritual disciplines, when they're facing a trial in life, they know what Scripture has to say to that particular situation. You ever known somebody like that, that is just really calm and can just bring wisdom to a situation where everybody else is panicking? Now, why is that? It's not because they're born more spiritual than you. No, chances are they've been in the Word. They know what God's Word says, and they know how to bring wisdom to that situation based upon what God's Word says. And if we're faced with difficult decisions, for example, we know how to pray effectively. What most people do, and I'm guilty of this, is I pray when things have really went south. Has anybody ever done that before, or am I the only one? We pray when things go south. But if we are always in prayer, if we are a people of prayer, if communication with God is a regular practice for us, when difficult things come up, we're going to know how to pray effectively. Because we didn't wait till the last minute. Now I need to cry out to God. But no, we're always walking in that fellowship and that communion with God. So discipline brings freedom to our lives. And so when we think about spiritual disciplines, we often think about what it will do. And this is big, and I want to end with this. When we think about spiritual disciplines, we often think about what it will do for our own lives personally. But I want to ask you, how might practicing spiritual disciplines benefit people around you? How might practicing spiritual disciplines benefit the people around you? Typically, we think about how is this going to benefit me? But how will it benefit people around you? So one way is we set that example for people, and people see that. What else? How can practicing spiritual disciplines benefit other people? So you live out Christ likeness in front of people more and more. Yeah, there's actually. Yeah, he actually spends a chapter, and we'll spend a week talking about serving and how that actually is a discipline. Serving. Yeah. What else? How can practicing spiritual disciplines affect others? I think when you actually practice the spiritual disciplines themselves, it shows people that it's possible. Well, what's the number one excuse that people say for not, for example, studying Scripture? What's the number one excuse? Don't have time. What did you say, Michael? Don't understand it? Okay, that's another. Yeah. Yeah. I've never liked to read or whatever. Yeah. 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 I think the big one is, one of the big ones is that people just say they don't have time. Well, I'm just too busy. I've got too much going on. I think when you set that example and you show people like, hey, you can have a job and you can have a family, but yet you can be really spiritually disciplined. I think that's an example that shows people like, okay, well, if they can do it, then I can do it. You know, you really set that example for them. Yeah. You know, that's something that's very convicting to me is with our youth, like how can I encourage them to be in the Word and to be in prayer if I'm not doing those things myself? Like that's something I think about a lot. And so I think setting that example is a really big thing. All right, how else? Is there any other ways that practicing the spiritual disciplines can affect other people? Yeah, it helps us. I always think of it this way. Like it helps us be the people we want people to be for us. You know, I know I have people that automatically come to my mind when things are not going good for me, you know, or if I've just got something on my mind that's, you know, causing me to be depressed or whatever. There's people that I will go to. And they're those sources of wisdom. And so for us, the challenge is to be those people. And how do we do that? Well, it's just, there's no other way. We have to be in the Word. We have to be people of prayer. You know, we have to, spiritual disciplines. I mean, that's, yeah. Sure. All right, anything else? Anybody want to add anything before we close up here? Like I said, I just wanted to spend this week and kind of look at the what and the why. You know, what are the spiritual disciplines and why should we pursue them? But I'll leave you with this quote here, and then we'll pray and we'll close out. So here's what he says on page 9. He says, Christ's likeness is the goal. It's the reason we should practice the disciplines. Without this purpose in our practice, the performance of spiritual disciplines, no matter how consistent or vigorous, is vain and nothing more than an empty husk of godliness. So while we cannot be godly without the practice of spiritual disciplines, We can practice the spiritual disciplines without being godly if we see them as an ends and not the means. I think that's a really good thing for us to keep in mind as we go through this. So I'll close this out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to come here, Lord, and to look into your word. And Father, I just pray that as we go through this study over the next several weeks, God, you will help us to see our need to be more disciplined, Lord. To look into your word and see the ways in which your early church grew in their faith, Lord, and that they grew in their walk with you. Father, just help us to be disciplined people. And Lord, always keep that vision before us, that the goal is godliness. It's not so that we can receive a pat on the back, or that we can pat ourselves on the back about how much we know or how spiritual we think we are. God, just help us to keep in mind that through practicing the spiritual disciplines, Lord, we can grow in our Christ-likeness, and that's the ultimate goal. Father, we just love you so much, Lord. I pray that you'll be with everybody here this week. God, I pray that you'll be with my brothers and sisters as they go off into their jobs and into their homes. God, just pray that you would help us to be godly witnesses to the people around us. Help us to set that example, as we were talking a moment ago. Help us to be the people that people like we look for whenever things are going on in our lives, God. Help us be people of wisdom and understanding so that we can help others. Father, I just pray that, Lord, that you will continue to be with our church and that you'll help us to grow in our unity. And, Lord, just help us to be a worshipful people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.